Hip low and convertible Camaro. With this curly hair, girl, yeah, you done know. How she got here, how she's leaving. We ain't talking, but she's touching. We ain't kissing, but she's rubbing. She's just with it, she ain't fussing. She looking like, who doesn't? She does it like it ain't nothing. When she lifts her head up, you see her hair blow. Why you watching me and watching you? Criticizing topics, I don't care about what you say about me. Get the fuck out of my pockets, I'm a D-Dot citizen. Riding through that spotlight, vibing off that energy. Vibing like it's Bush Light. Some dudes just don't move right. Shaq, yo, he's soaring, yo, I'm heading to the top. Where the fuck are y'all going? Yeah, the flavor of the day, the hour of the minute of the second, then forgotten as soon as people are blinking. For 16 years I've been growing every weekend. I'm the flavor of the decade. Nah, fuck it for the eon. Yeah. Flowing mofo, yeah, that's what I'm known for. Hopping out that photo, straight right through that club door. Direct through that VIP, the vodka's what they spill most. Toast to my friends close, never leave the club alone. Not in a home, in a room, the moan and groan. Consumes the ooze, consumes the eyes, consumes the place. Zamboni did smooth, now it's time to skate. Not on some player shit, on some adult shit. On some two consent and doing what we want shit. Friendly departure with caress or a handshake. Or maybe spend the night and wake up for some pancakes. Yeah, I'm on the road. I'm in the plane, flying over your home. Watch the blue ice duck, sucker, duck, sucker. The chiz knocker, there ain't no other brother that keeps them lyrics fresh with beats that pound down. That gives people pride calling out their hometown. Fresh to death, grab the stage like rest in peace. With no sweat off the chest, now cease.
Everybody, this is a special edition of Spitballing with JT. I'm with one of my favorite hip-hop artists of all time, Shaq Clair, where he's dropping a brand new single, and we're gonna premiere that for you guys tonight. So first off, Shaq Clair, let's hear a little bit about yourself.
Man, well, you know my history, you know where I come from. I've been MC from Toronto for a time. And from way back, like 96, we just kind of went out there and really started promoting the name T-Dot out there, and now it's kind of all over the place. And we dropped some big tracks, Northern Touch, Let's Ride, Light 'Em Up, Skunk, Skyline, stuff like that. So that's kind of my quick history discography right there.
Yeah, and this is over a time span. Like, this has been going on for like a movement with you for about like 12 years non-stop, just vibing, putting out tracks, fucking videos, dropping albums. Like for a an actual hip-hop fan to be sitting next like a pretty much a hip-hop legend in Canada is one of the most special things for me. Hang on a second. That's that fucking street sweeper. Sorry for the audio, guys. There's a fucking street sweeper. We can't control that shit. We didn't know they'd be fucking cleaning right now, but this will fucking work out. Don't worry. We'll make it work. But, so, being a hip-hop artist in Canada, what's it been like from, like, the start till now, pretty much? Like, the full time that it's been?
Man, it's been good. Like, you know, like, when I first started, it was, you know, definitely tough because, you know, like, 96 and stuff like that, there wasn't really, you know, it was hard to just kind of thing, you know, there wasn't really a lot of things going on as far as outlets and places where we could go in Canada. And then just kind of seeing it build and go over the years and seeing the love and the acceptance from, you know, just the people out there when they hear the music and they really love it and stuff. And then also going in and seeing other MCs come along and do their thing and you know, whether internationally or even just nationally, you know, really go and get, make a name for themselves and people come out and check them and they appreciate the art. And now there's not a B-class type of stigma attached to, like, when people hear Canadian hip-hop like it used to be before. Now it's just a matter of, like, if I like it or if I don't, or if it's good, is a bump, and all those other things, like they do with every other music from every other place. So it's good to see that transition and how it kind of came about.
Yeah, and for those who are, like, U.S. fans, the thing that they don't realize is for hip-hop in Canada, you didn't have, like, multiple outlets like in the States where you had MTV or BET to go to. You just had Much Music. And then it started to branch off into, like, Much Vibe and all that stuff. But then even eventually they just stopped playing music videos altogether, those channels, and it just stopped. And now the whole thing's especially with an artist like you, you've gone through the transition from being like trying to get your video on a like a music channel like Much Music or on MTV to having it just trying to go viral online.
No, well, definitely, like, you know, you would check out even then trying to get your music on Much Music even at those times. You know, even back, because we didn't have MTV in here, we didn't have MTV Canada then at that time, you were still going up and competing against all other different, you know, big tracks that were out there, you know, and so it was even hard. And there was also, like I said, there was the stigma that people don't care about music up here, or it doesn't sell, or it's not this, or it's not that. So you also had that stigma to battle through as well. But, you know, people like the Rascals and Ghetto Concept, Maestro Fresh West, Missy Me, Dream Warriors, all of them like that, you know, Monolith crews like that, that came up and really started putting a dent in that armor of what we were able to go and achieve, you know, really started opening up the doors. And, you know, they also then the internet came along, and now it's not just these stations that we can only just rely on to go and get music out. Now, you know, there's the blogs and there's online TV and online, you know, video sites and stuff like that. So,
oh yeah, like, shout out to Toronto Rappers and all those guys, because without that, I don't see much of the game really going any further than it already is, because the way everything's set up now, it's like, if you can't fit what you're trying to get into 140 characters on Twitter, you're kind of fucked up. And this, they don't realize that shit, you can't just put sometimes even just like a title isn't even long enough for that. Like with some rappers, they have these huge ass titles. Like, yeah. I'm just gonna use Jay-Z's album name as a fucking example. Right. Like Magna Carta, and I don't know what the other half was at the moment. I'm going blank.
Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Yeah, Magna Carta Holy Grail. Like, when you type that into Google, the first thing that's going to come up now is Jay-Z. That was smart, but then you're taken away from the historical fact of those two fucking things. It's ingenious marketing, but then again, it kind of fucks with history's outlook, because now they're not going to be like, what Magna Carta are you talking about? The actual document that was forged in 1200 or the album that Jay-Z dropped might be in 2013.
Doing your biblical studies and all of a sudden you're reading like Jay-Z lyrics.
Yeah, I can see that happening in some Judaism schools. But it's a different time and it's a different age for hip hop. And what do you see it being for you?
I just think it's a good time for the fact that, you know, like one of the things that I really like is the fact that when I was coming up in hip hop, and a lot of us as well, were coming up, like, you know, like there was always like lyrics involved, like skill to like the lyrics and everything like that. And then now, with the new generation, where now it's not more just you did it because you loved it, but you could also do it because you can, you know, be, you know, make a career out of it and be successful and make some money off of it as well. You know, like there's somewhat of a little bit of commercialism, but the stuff that also goes and makes people stick to certain artists over time is because they relate to them because of what they say in the songs. So the lyricism is coming back, and one of the things that I've come up and seen throughout the years is just watching, like, you know, how lyricism was one thing that was up front, and then it got into commercialism, and
then it got into dance, and where you had these guys who come out and they would just come up with a dance to go along with the beat.
Well, yeah, but you got to remember, like, even back in the day, they had songs with the dance. Like,
oh, yeah, like the Hustle and shit. I understand that.
Pee Wee Herman. Yeah. Those songs. You know, but, like, so it was just different, and it wasn't maybe into, like, us that, like, listened to, you know, like, we grew up on, like, early 90s hip-hop and hip-hop. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, that's where our core is, you know what I mean? And, you know, but it was still dance. We had songs like that before. It was just something, but it just got oversaturated with, I guess, with everything that was kind of going on. Like, it strayed a lot away from, you know, like, people saying stuff, like, you know, like, things that moved you, influenced you, you know, you caught in your soul. Like, while we know, like, records top to back.
Well, you notice that even with, like, big artists like Eminem, where he had, like, in 96, he dropped his first album, and that was solid. And then he blew up with the Slim Shady LP, and that's what everybody knew him as. And then he went off, because he was on drugs and shit, he went off into this weird fucking whack spiral where his hip-hop wasn't getting the credit that it was due at the time, because people thought he was trying to fucking prove a point or be funny. But he proved them back with, like, the Relapse and shit, where he came out with some real fucking shit, and it actually, you felt what he went through for all those years and why, like, he explains it in some of his songs, and it's interesting. But I want to get your aspect on something like that.
Well, you know, it's the thing, is that no one ever discredited Eminem
as being
a rapper, like, you know, as being an MC. Like, they all knew he was talented, but they all knew, like, when he was talking about, you know, groups and that he in hip hop that he grew up listening to and stuff like everybody, because you could see it. You could see the talent, you could see the skill, you could see the you know, the appreciation that he has for the art form. So that
For sure.
So, like,
definitely.
Whether he went and he did this and he did that over his years and stuff, like, because there's a few albums I still really like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Same with me.
You know, like, some that I actually know most of them on, and, you know, and there's not a lot of albums nowadays that I don't, that I know the whole album.
Yeah, like, if you're listening to the album in the car and
you know,
every single word to every single song. That's how I am with some of your tracks, some of his tracks, even with some of Oli's tracks. It's with me, it's become a whole, like, mix of different styles of hip hop my entire life. And because I'm not an actual hip hop artist, I'm almost like a critic or a connoisseur, I like to think of myself
as. You're a connoisseur, so you're allowed to be critical, because you're looking at the music that you enjoy, what your history with the music is.
And that's what I'm getting to. And I like stuff that's lyrical and where it gets to a point or it makes you feel good. Like, Let's Ride. That's a song that makes you feel good, because you're out, like, let's well, ride.
There's a, you know, it's one of those things where I just look at it as like when I'm making music, and I think when most people that make music that you really connect with, there's always got to be like an emotional connection. And you know, me and G-Vine, we have this conversation every once in a while. It's like I'll sit there and, you know, we'll talk about like when I'm writing, you know, like I write, like even if there's a scenario or a situation that's specific to me, when I'm writing it, I want to make sure, and I'm putting it on out there in the music, I want to make sure that I'm making it in a general way that everybody can relate to what my situation was, exactly. My emotional tie to that situation was. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, you want to create that emotional tie because, you know, people are a lot the same, you know, and with everything and everything that they do, and not all that they do, but like just with how they emotionally are with experiences. And I just try to go and relate it, whether it's in the club having a good time, whether it's a situation where you're upset about something, or, you know, another situation where you're just, you know, not doing nothing and just screwing off for like an hour and a half or for 3 hours or for the whole day just doing nothing. You know what I mean? And you want to talk about that or something but nothing, you know, nothing of any whatever, you know. So so that's the thing, and that's the thing with the music and with people like Eminem, and you know why people love Biggie and Tupac and Jay-Z and Nas and Redman.
Yeah,
and, you know,
there's just so many legends, you can't even mention them all nowadays, because if you go and you skip over something, they that starts something with somebody.
Yeah, someone's gonna say, "Why didn't you mention that guy?"
Exactly, and that's the thing. It's like a whole different ball game when you come with hip hop. You can't have just one guy, because there isn't just one guy anymore. It's a whole slew of guys that are on top. Like,
you sometimes people will ask me, they'll say, "Who's your favorite rapper?" And I would be like, "I don't have one favorite rapper."
If they were to phrase it something like, who's been your favorite rapper of all, like, throughout the years? Who's a rapper that you always turn to for a good vibe, and that you're gonna, like, you know you're in for, like, some good hip-hop?
I listen to, like, Redman. But again, it's not one.
Yeah, like, but...
Like, I pick Corrupt. Corrupt, like, yeah, like, I watch Corrupt, like, you know, like, I go back to his Streets as a Mother album. You know, and even songs that he does today, like 9 times out of 10 with him and Quick. You know, like there's Corrupt, there's Redman, there's Wu-Tang, there's Biggie,
Bone Thugs, there's Bone Thugs. They brought so much to the game when they were in it. Like, and now they're coming back and doing two.
And there's even like those songs where, unfortunately, like I'm forgetting the name of the group, but that you used to always hear on like college radio and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, and now you can't remember. Shoot, I really wish I remember the name of this group. Because if I say a name, it's not going to be the right one. But, you know, but there's, there was like, you know, you would hear these songs all the time. And I would have like their 12 inches, you know, of these artists, of just, you know, people, people of just that were dope even throughout that whole time period. You know, thinking like people remember songs like Blue Cheese. That was a dope song. Like, you know, like those people like that, you know, like other groups, the Youngsters. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, but like those are things. So and all of those songs that they may have had, not all their songs, but songs from them, I still remember them were songs that I was putting on repeat and so on and so forth. One of my favorite Toronto rap songs is thinking, Boiling Point by Concrete Mob.
Like, yeah, that's a good point. And there's a thing with like even just with Toronto especially, you got different types of hip hop that come out of different parts of the city. Because like when you had Scartown Entertainment and Khalifa and all those dudes, they were spitting fire, and then it's just kind of dropped off a little bit. But then, boom, it'll come right back out at you, and it's 10 times stronger next time. And that's what that's what a lot of people don't realize is, it seems like it's a little bit behind, but it's not. We're just at a different way.
And you know, and the thing is also like, you know, like sometimes people never really leave, you know, the city or the province.
Yeah.
And when you go out west, you know, like you're hearing more West Coast and not necessarily Southern, but a lot more West Coast music out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you'll hear more E40 songs than you would ever hear in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bone Thugs plays a lot more out there.
That, and that's what I noticed when I was in LA, was it's the
song. I'm even talking like
Even in Vancouver.
Even in Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah. That's what people don't realize is that Canada is a lot like the States when it comes to the type of music that we like. And I think it has a lot in common that we both speak the same language, and that's English, but we both have our own secondary languages where we have, like, Francophone hip-hop, and they have, it's going off the reggaeton. You know what I mean?
Reggaeton hip-hop, yeah.
It's exactly the same, but it's different because it's different languages. That's it. But it's still hip-hop in its own right. Yeah, and
right.
And nobody could take that away from... Like, as long as you got a dirty beat and some smooth lyrics to go on that track, it's a hip-hop track, no matter what.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. It's hip-hop, and that's what the beauty of it is, because it's so diverse.
Yeah, and for, like, any, like, young artists in the game, what do you got, like, advice for them?
Really, the only advice I could really say is just to be who you are, right? Because, like... If you're that guy that's on the road and doing all sorts of stuff, then that's you. If you're a guy that's not doing that, then that's you. But the thing is that people will respect you for who you are. The people will relate to you for who you are and how you describe your scenarios through your music. And, you know, and that's what's going to give you the longevity and the emotional attachment with others, is because people are going to relate to you on that side.
Fucking street sweeper again.
Yeah, well, at least they're doing a good job. That's
twice.
Yeah, fuck. That's twice I heard him, you know.
Three times. We were outside, they came back once, twice, three times. So at least we know our street's clean.
Yeah, at least they're cleaning right here anyways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's because we're at a weird-ass intersection. But here's something that I want to know personally for my, like, in the video, Let's Ride, there's a portion where you're on the back of a motorcycle, in the suit, doing all the, like, the hip hop shit. What did you do that yourself, or was that all fucking, like, you just
stunt double?
Yeah.
No, I was on the back of the bike.
And that chick was driving it, and you were fucking.
The only thing that when they did the close up in the
because there's some crazy angles. Like, I'm like, I don't know if he's moving or if it's like a screen behind us moving.
No, it wasn't a screen. That was Little X's magic. And the
Little X, shout out to Little X.
Yeah, or Director X or whatever.
Yeah,
he goes by now with Dr. X. Director X, you know. But, like, really, the really only thing that changed was when we were doing the wide shots where you saw the whole bike. Then it was still a female, and we just put, like, hair to make the hair long on her, but she was more of a professional bike rider.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, like, she was wheeling down, we did it down Wellington, and she's, like, flying down Wellington and all sorts of stuff. So that was the only time when, you know, somebody changed or the scenario changed.
That is some of, like, the craziest, like, because you, the only other, like, rappers you see do that kind of shit are the Rough Riders. So when you had a Canadian hip-hop artist do something like that, it was fucking, like, that broke a mold for a fucking hip-hop artist.
Yeah.
You don't even realize how much that broke a mold till
really
now.
I mean, I just remember they put me in that very hot bike suit that was all yellow.
Yeah, I was going to ask, was that like a snow suit or a bike suit? Because that's what it looks like. It looks like you're, like, going to, like, a chalet and, like, you know, bundled up.
Yeah, it was
supposed to the gloves and shit.
It was supposed to be a bike suit. But I'm pretty sure they did it for safety too, because if I came tumbling off that bike,
somebody's going to be pissed. I knew EMI was going to get fucking tired.
Yeah, I needed some padding at some point, like, you know, so if I do a, you know, six rolls on my way to a stop when I'm off the back of the bike, you know. So.
And the Jeep in that, that's a dirty, dirty Jeep. And the chick that drives it is hot as hell.
Oh, the Hummer.
Yeah. That's what I was confused with. Is that an actual Hummer, like, from back in the day, or is that
those
like
were the
Jeep
old
done up?
No, that was like an old Hummer, like the one,
like a straight up Humvee from the military.
From the military, yeah, the one that Arnold would drive. So just maybe the paint job was better. It was black.
And I was watching that video the other day, getting prepared for this interview, and I was just like, "You lucky son of a bitch!" Like, if that was me, A, I'd be scared shitless on the back of the bike, and C, I would have fucking died when I saw that fucking Hummer. That was just
no. It was dope, and it was that whole experience of doing that video. It was a 2-day shoot. You know, it was my very first ever professional type video set. I just remember everybody just kept telling me in the back of my ear all the time. They would say, you know, like, we're spending like $100 a minute. Oh, you know, like on every hour
pressure.
Like, or something like that. So, well, it probably wasn't that much, but even they're just telling me,
yeah,
be on point on the time, exactly. Because
holy shit,
if you're over, we're paying these guys, and it costs, and this is how many people we're paying.
Fuck.
And this is the budget of the video. So, you know, which kind of put me into, like, you know,
brought it in perspective.
Brought it all in perspective, and things that I've learned and went on. And as you can see, the video came out very well.
It's by far one of your best music videos. Like, I like Rubin as well, and Skyline, don't get me wrong. Every song you've come out with, the video goes along quite well, and there's never really a complaint with the videos. What do you think is, like, a personal thing for you? Which is, A, what's your favorite out of yours, like, your music videos, and what's, like, your least favorite?
It's hard to say what the least favorite is, because they all have a different type of vibe that I was coming to it with.
Or not least favorite. What are you less, like, proud of as a, like, it wasn't your finest moment, I would just say it like that.
In the video?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's actually, I never thought about it. I thought, because all of the videos pretty much had its moments where it was like, something was screwing up. Something was not.
Well, that's another thing with like video shoots. The people don't realize there's always something going wrong.
Yeah, like you don't get the shot. Like even with Love 'Em All, like we were supposed to get a couple of other shots. The end shot where we were all standing around at the very end, like when it was fading out at the very end of the video. You know, we were supposed to do more than that, but we were running out of time and we were losing our permit time and shit was happening. And, so I wish we had more time with that.
Yeah.
You know, like...
So there you go. That would have been what I was trying to get to, like, something that you could wish you
could have. Yeah, but, like, a video like, what was the one there? Skyline. You know, like, I wish that, you know, like, we... Because we were doing, like, these... Like those still picture moments that we did in there. You know, like, just like with those, like just now, you know, seeing at the time what we had and what we could have had is like just adding more to those type of scenes, like where, like when she's pulling it down. Oh, I love it. Like, I like it. You know what I mean? But I just.
Oh, yeah.
There was like, you know, maybe we could have did it this way instead or something like that.
There's but
like,
always that 2020 when you have hindsight.
Hindsight, right? Yeah. It's always going to be there. So as far as like bad videos, I don't know. I like them all. You know, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, I love all your videos, too. And that's the thing. I just wanted to get your perspective on what you wish you could have had like a chance with.
They're more like nitpicky things for me.
And that's what I figured I'd hear from you. It's hard to, A, critique yourself in a scenario like this because, A, it's a
new... Because I can always try and I can always try and do it better. Like, I can always... Yeah. Like, even on the... Like, see, even with the Let's Ride, there's things in there that I, you know, that...
You could have chitted.
But, you know, but it came out...
Mims. They're like... Yeah. The Volkswagen. That could have been different.
Right, yeah, you know, like, so it's like, there's different things and, you know, like you said, in hindsight, you know, it's all 2020. But at the end of the day, they still came out to what they did.
Oh, yeah.
They still enjoyed them. Awesome. And so it's good. And the thing is to just...
And they got a lot of play.
Yeah.
You always see, like, it's an old, like, much... Like, if you're going through your videos on YouTube or something, and it'll be from, like, much back in the day, and it'll have the countdown, and it'll be, like, last week, 8. This week, 6. Yeah. Like, nice. Still climbing the charts, technically.
It's still climbing up to this day. It's there.
Yeah. And whoever has that video posted up, I've watched it several times. I'm not sure whose YouTube account that's on, but props to them for actually getting it when it was a clip where it was still rising up and not one of those where it was going down moments.
Yeah, yeah, like, they got it on the up plan.
Yeah.
Props to YouTube.
Yeah.
It's always a good look.
That would have been shitty. But let's talk about now, 2013. What's Chaclaire got set for the future?
I think, like, you know, the same type of music that everybody always liked from me. Like, you know, like, I've always been...
Like the opening track, Rev.
Yeah, like Rev. Like, you know, like, with a track like Rev, that's almost like a track like Love 'Em All. Like, you know, like, so people have seen me on these type of things already. It's funny.
Another though, great fucking track, Love 'Em All.
Yeah, like, sometimes I get, you know, actually, I just saw a comment the other day. It just posted on one of, on one of my accounts on Facebook there, and it was like, yo, very nice on this trap beat. Very nice on this trap beat. And I didn't really consider it trap beat as much, because then I would have considered Love 'Em All trap. I just, you know, we just left the beat.
Yeah.
So, you know, but what they're going to get is, they're always, like we were talking about earlier, it's like I'm a guy who's into lyrics. I enjoy lyrics, and I might want like to make sure that people understand what I'm saying.
And that's another thing, because you don't... What I find with your hip-hop is, yes, sir, you use a lot of slang termination, but you don't at the same time. It's a hip-hop where not every, like, it's a hip-hop everybody can listen to. It's not like where it'll be like Rick Ross or something where he's...
And then you don't know what he's talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like a fucking 50-year-old corrections officer pretending to be a boss. But that's my own beef with Rick Ross. But anyways, but like... There's people who are out, like, faking it like that. That's what I mean. Like, they're fake it till you make it type guys. You're not. That's what people don't understand. You're the real deal.
Yeah, well, you know, like, number one, like, you know, I'm kind of like a information junkie.
I'm the same way. Watch the news 24/7. Like,
you know, and
every last city news here in Toronto, I was so pissed.
Yeah. So, you know, I like... So when I relate to people, I want to make sure that I talk to people who, you know, like, give them some sort of information and education and, you know, and whatever. Like, sure, I still, you know, like, even a Rev, like, you know, this curly hair girl, yeah, you're done, no. Like, we'll talk
exactly.
about that.
Exactly.
Like,
that's I'm still, like, still using slang terms.
But, like, I try to make sure that I phrase things right.
Exactly.
I just try to make sure that, because, like you said, yeah, other people can understand, and not because I'm trying to do that part of what I'm trying to do.
No, I think it's a subconscious thing, isn't it?
It's just how I speak, just by watching all these things.
Because you're a well-spoken dude. That's one thing that if people didn't know now, that if, from watching this interview, they'll know that you're incredibly well-spoken. You got a presence that not a lot of hip-hop artists have, and I think that's because you've been in the game so long. You're used to this kind of a scenario, except this is more low profile than anything else.
Well, the difference is just, like you said, like earlier, it's like, this is just me. Like, you know, like, yeah. I'm a fan of music, and I love making music.
Yeah.
And, you know, I enjoy people's company, and I just vibe, like, you know, that's why I can go to, like, some place in the middle of nowhere and hang out with, like, guys and girls who are just camping,
yeah,
and fit in and sit around campfire and
that's
listen to
we
some guy
about
play.
Before.
Yeah, some guy's playing, you know, a U2 song on his guitar, and I'm just like sitting there, like, all right, yeah, okay, like, you know, this is cool. You know, as long as somebody doesn't run up bush and start throwing spears around.
Yeah, and here's a little tidbit from my fans. I did security for Shocks when I was 16. That's when I became a really big fan of his. I was 16 years old. He didn't know me at the time. And I was psyched to be the head of security for his show. But I was 16. And they had me running a crowd filled with 21-year-olds. So just to have like that memory is fucking awesome. So then to be later on in life to actually chill with you, we've become like somewhat friends over the past couple of years that I've known you, and we've bumped into each other here and there, and hung out here at PHS, and to actually have this interview finally go down, it means a lot to me, first of all, and I want to thank you for that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much a dream come true for me, just so you know.
Thanks.
Because this is what I've wanted for, especially my viewers, my listeners, and everything. I want them to take a look at me retrospectively and see deep inside me. And this is me. I love Shock Larry. He's one of my favorite rappers. And that's why I had to get you on this show.
No, I appreciate it, man. And, you know, and just from, like, just everybody, like, from the years of support and being there, and, you know, and I dipped for a while. Like, I dipped out for, like, a good 6 years or something like that. And, you know, people are excited and they're showing love with the new songs. You know, like, even with the new album, See Evolution, it's like, what people are going to get is they're going to still get the me that they liked in the first place, you know. And we're just on with the music is like, it's just like, it's like we upgraded, you know, like the soul of the car.
There's a mad genius behind the beat.
Yeah, you got G-Vine and CC on the beat from PHS. And, you know, and it's like the soul of the car hasn't left, and the engine and the valves and the horsepower.
It's just some of the body.
Upgraded the body. And I think that's what people are going to catch. And I think that's why songs like Talk Like the Let the Beats Know and Rev, people are really enjoying right now, because they catch that. And they it's not like, oh, this is someone different, where they're like, oh, this is what we like.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and we're feeling this new vibe, and now we're on it. And Shocks has always been the same. And just like you said, it's like I try to go and speak in proper. I'm not a stereotype to anything other than who I am. And I just try to go and make sure, even in my music, is that I make sense to people. People can relate to me. And in my everyday, when I talk to people, I just talk to people like how I just talk to people. I'm just, you know, regular Shocks on the block.
That's what I fucking love about you, dude. Yeah. You're just so fucking chill. You vibe like you're one of the boys in any scenario, and that's what I've realized over the past couple of years getting to know you, is that you're always up to the scenario, whatever it is, whether it's the Wednesdays that G-Vine puts together, or it's an appearance where, like, you're just going out to show support for another PHS artist like Oli or something, or it's always chill, and it's always just, let's just relax, take a bit, and we'll kind of like watch. That's what I've realized. You're very intellectual like that. You'll watch the crowd over just straight engaging them, because you want to just see what the scenario is like.
I'm very engaging. Yeah, I like the interaction. I enjoy interaction, and I enjoy like conversation, and those type of things are the things that you know, those are the things that drive me in my writing and in my music. And, you know, just like I said, I'm just everyday Shocks chilling. This is my job, and I love it because it's something I wanted to do, you know. But I don't feel it puts me above anybody like that or anything like that. It just, it's what I do, and I'm enjoyable, and I enjoy the fact that people enjoy it.
Yeah, so for sure. So in closing, like, is there anything like you want to like get across to your fans, get across to any of my fans, any of we like to call Death Squad, which is Joe Rogan's fans that I'm interlinked with? I love those dudes, and they help me promote anybody who's on my show. So shout out to like all the Death Squad people for sure.
Big up to all of y'all out there. I just want y'all to let you know, if you don't know already, if you're new to who you're seeing me as right now, the name is Shock Lair. The website is shocklair.ca. You can check out on YouTube PHS Entertainment or Shock Lair Bookings. You will catch the music history of everything out there. And, like, I'm the guy that makes music for the people who love hip hop and the people who like hip hop, that's not necessarily their number one choice of music, but get into it, they will get into me, which will bring them into everybody else, because I can go in.
For sure.
Because I can, I'm just that dude, and it's you know, the support of the people that that I've had over the years, I've always really appreciated, and I really appreciate them when I'm coming back out and supporting everything. And you know, I'm just here doing the music, and I'm so happy that you guys enjoy it. And this new album, Sea Evolution, I think is gonna be something that everybody's gonna love. I think a lot of people are gonna be surprised. So I open up myself a little bit more on this record.
It's but a bit more intimate.
Yeah, I get more into it, you know, because I got years under my belt, so I got a lot, I got stuff I could talk about. Like, you know, I'm not just talking about, you know.
Just balling anymore. It's just more about, like, life.
Yeah, but we still jamming. We having a good time, but it's also, yeah, there's things in there that make more sense to certain situations, yeah. People, and whatever, just because it's not a whole. It's a complete album, let's just say that. And people are going to go and vibe with that, and they're going to get that 100%. And I think they're going to really love it. And I can't wait for that to come out. I got some touring coming up in September, going across the country. I know we're starting out in B.C.
Nice. So, B.C., look out.
Yeah, so I'm going to be starting out over there. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up. Couple of secret projects that won't be so secret in the next couple of weeks. So we've just been working, and we're doing it. And again, it's called Rev, it's called Talk Let the Beats Know. Those are the two songs. The videos are up on YouTube. The website is shaclair.ca. And follow me on Twitter at shaclair, and follow me on Facebook. Just look me up, shaclair. You'll find me up on there. And yeah, man, check out the album and check out these videos. And make sure that you check out all the past stuff of Shaclair, so you can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And you'll know where the music is going to go, because if you love that music from before, you're definitely going to love it coming up. And if you didn't like it from before, well, now you're just going to have to like it when the new stuff comes as well.
All right, everybody. That's going to be it for this episode of Spitballing with JT. I'm going to have a Shocks video at the beginning and end of the YouTube Vimeo versions, and I'll have those songs up in the audio version on iTunes as well. So, peace out, one love, Death Squad, Sea Evolution, PHS,
yeah.
Shocklair, G-Vine, CC, Oli, the whole family. What up? Holler back.
Yeah. What up, T-Dot? What up, Canada, worldwide? Shaclair, I'll see you. I'm coming to you. Check it out.
Stop. Talk, let the beats know. Let the beats know. Talk, let the beats know. Let the beats know. Talk, let the beats know. Let the beats know. Talk, let the beats know. The beat, the beat. Talk, let the beats know. Van City with some Van City kitties looking so pretty. Yeah, it's Chisnock. You come across so angry about everything about me, everything around me. I can assume that you gon' doubt me. So you can assume your foot's up in your mouth. Brazen invasion of lyrics again. So that food to your soul is supplied again. Spotlights on me, dip for a little bit. So fall back till I was a little bit. They said no way, you ain't getting no play. But I got full play every day, all day. Smoke cohibas on a sunny day. Then the next day, catch a flight to Norway. And then the next day, catch a flight to UK. It's a new day. Over the pond, dew form on the leaves, sun cresting the earth, and all of this before six. It's more plain.
trips and more stage rip. They need new mics cause the mics got killed. Cause shocks in the place, walks down the concourse, to the green room, to the VIP, to the stage doors. Spotlights on, the crowd roars. Yeah, we vibe for an hour or more. Humbly, I be seen, just be taking a walk, reminiscing about the time when only option was walk. Now it's sunny days, sunny rays break through my shades. I don't draw the curtains, I just get up and working. Keep my fresh on, now the girls keep flirting. In the club, now they see me, they start working. She sees me smirking, now the boy them lurking. Then people turn nervous when the club gets urban. Go ham, do juice in both hands. Hit the after party, but still there for fam. Conflicted on this life of insanity. Girls like to roll with me. Black shades, hat pulled down. You don't notice me. On stage, words come out. Now you know it's me. Poetical, lyrical type of flowetry. The type that make other MCs go notice me. Trees backstage, 5 minutes showtime. Step on stage, blow minds.
Check with the beats now. The beat, check with the beats now.